Welcome, welcome. Hello, everybody. This is Lisa Zimmer. I am so pleased to welcome you to the show, Unlimited Realities, today. It's a pretty heavy show. But we're gonna look at this topic that we're talking about, life and death, and a perspective of hope and faith and optimism and encouragement and inspiration in a way that maybe we haven't looked at it before. In a way that maybe we haven't felt it before. I have the very, very honorable privilege today of speaking with a man, Jack O'Ryan, a very humble soul, an extremely humble soul, and probably one of the greatest teachers that I've seen. Honestly, I have talked to some incredible pioneers throughout my 30 plus years in metaphysics and spirituality and emotional awareness and intuition. And I've had a lot of shows that have choked me up and a lot of shows that rattled my anxiety in preparing for it. But this show, I'm not doing just a show to do a show anymore. I'm doing shows that move me. I'm doing shows that I feel would move my audience, or would change maybe perspectives or give people a little additional glimpse to living life more enriched. And so I've been friends online with Jack O'Ryan for over 10 years. In fact, he and I became friends when I started my podcast. So for me to have my podcast for as long as I've known Jack and to have Jack on today is also very significant for me, because he's a humble soul who has been diagnosed with a terminal illness, okay? And not only is he living with a terminal illness, but he is living life in such a way of love and joy and generosity and unconditionalism that is so very inspiring to me. I know it will be empowering and inspiring for you. And so, without further ado, I will bring this very incredible man to gift you, the audience, with his insights and wisdoms and perspectives. But, I haven't prepared for this show like I normally do. I usually read a book, I bring out my highlighter, I make some notes, I go through a few, spiral things, notes and questions. This is a wing it, man. This is a wing it. So we are just diving deep, digging deep, feeling deep. And without further ado, welcome, please, my guest, Jack O'Ryan. Jack, God bless you and thank you for being on Unlimited Realities today. Welcome, welcome. Hello, Jack. Hello, Jack. For some reason, I do not have a connection.
Okay, there
Hello?
We go. You
hey,
got
Jack?
Me now?
I got you now.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Okay, all of a sudden it goes muted. I go, oh my gosh, oh no.
I couldn't hear you, and I'm going with the buttons back and forth. I'm going, what did I do? Because, undoubtedly it's my issue because I am not a tech whiz. It's one of these nemesis issues I don't have to work through. So welcome, welcome, Jack O'Ryan. God bless you for being here. Thank you.
Thank you. I know you're going, oh my gosh, mute. And you're saying, Jack, I'm here. Anyway, great
it's
way to start
good.
The show, huh?
Hey, no, it's all good. It's great because we've got all the time in the world. It's all
yep.
good. It's all good.
Exactly.
So Jack, like I was saying to the audience, we've online known each other for 10 years as mingled with similar people online. Spiritually evolved seekers. And so let's talk a little bit about the diagnosis and, how did you get to the doctor? Were you feeling ill? Was this something of a checkup? Let's go back a little bit and go into the first steps of this process for you with being diagnosed with a terminal illness?
Yeah, it goes back to November of 2019, really, Lisa, that I had a dissection, which is a your aorta has three layers to it, and the first layer of my aorta tore from my heart to my belly button. So they put me on blood pressure medicine, and I was supposed to get CAT scans every 6 months. Well, then 6 months came, and then they did a CAT scan to look at my aorta to see how that was doing. Then they found the mass. So it really wasn't anything to do with the cancer that I went in there. It was for something else. Then they said, well, my goodness, there's a mass there, so we got to do a biopsy. And then they found the cancer. So it really wasn't going looking for the cancer. It was looking at the aorta, and that's how they found it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so were you feeling ill up to that point? Were you feeling like something was going on? Did you think it was just the heart? Did you think, you know, is this something that was, I mean, obviously shocking?
Yeah. No, there was, you know, there's just, you know, pain in the side. But thing is, it was so, you know, I have kidney stones and all that type of thing too, you know. So anyway, so it was around the area of the kidney stone. So I thought it was the kidney stone, you know.
Right.
And it was kind of hidden amongst other pain. So then again, the mass, you know, the CAT scan showed that. So yeah, it was just a pain there, but I thought it was something else.
Okay. So, all right. So you're in there and you hear this diagnosis. How did you handle it? What was your first feel?
My wife said, I looked at her and I shrugged my shoulders like, what are you going to do? You know, so that's my first, that was my first,
wow.
You know. So it was almost like I don't know how I felt, Lisa, really, honestly. I think it was just kind of a blank. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. You know, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I can feel that. You know, it's kind of like this raw kind of, you know, surrendering. And I'm sure your wife, you know, if I was to ask her what she felt, I'm sure she'd give me a whole lot of what she felt.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, you know, was this difficult to then process and then relate to family and friends? How did that next stage transpire for you?
Yeah, you know, it's, as you can imagine, it's a blur, right? A blur process, I think. I think sinking in and then going in for, because it didn't really start hitting more until I went in to talk to the doctor about, okay, what's the next step, right? So the next step is they told me that it's incurable, stage 4, you know, and then they said, you know, so I go, the next question, right, is, well, how much longer do I got? They said 6 months to a year. And that was in September. So it's been about 6 months now. So, so the process happened, and you know, I had to tell my kids and my family, and then we had a meeting what was going to go on from there, and then talk to them. And as you can imagine, it's like I can say it's like a tornado came in and just kind of blew everything up, and now putting the pieces back together.
Right, right. So now, you know, you're in that place now where, you know, the raw shock is kind of settled into an acceptance. And I think that's probably the hardest phase to go through, because, you know, there's a grief that, you know, there's that 5 stages of grief that, you know, we go through after someone passes, but we don't really talk about the 5 stages of grief that we go through when someone is in the process of dying or, you know, if someone is going through that. And a lot of that is gone through as you're making plans, you know, and Jack, you're just such an inspiration, because, you know, you're dealing with the emotional components. You're dealing with everyone around you that you love, and they're processing. And whether they're saying it or not, you feel it. You know everyone's, you know, going through their own stuff.
Yeah.
But in addition to this, you're inspiring a growing online community with a tremendous amount of authentic love and inspiration and empowerment, and you're planting a gosh darn garden.
Yeah,
which I love.
No, because, oh my goodness,
because I'm gardening too, so I'm following along with
you.
But you know, this is just your essence. You know, your beautiful spirit is just such a welcome gift for all of us that I don't want you to ever think that this is, you know, it's going to be so much more that, you know, there's that pay it forward that you're doing that I think you'll realize you have within the moment. However, you're going to have effects beyond the moment, that paying it forward, that effect of reflection, that effect of grandiose spirit and generosity that you're gifting all of us with, and the insights and the depths and the awarenesses that are coming through as well. God bless you and your wife. And, you know, this isn't just your journey. This is hers as well. This is something that I'm sure is, you know, a processing that she shares, as well as, you know, is very private about her own processing as well. You know, there's a piece for me. I've spoken with people who have lost loved ones and spouses specifically. And one man comes to mind, and 2 years after losing his wife, he was still really, really very stuck in his grief and unable to even, you know, feel his way to move on, and admitted openly that he didn't know if he would ever, you know, be able to fully move on. So in going into that aspect, I would ask you, you're so generous of heart. What would you want and ask for your loved ones, for your wife, for your children, in your passing? How would you want them to, you know, move on in regard to honoring such a grand man that you are?
Well, we'll go back just a little bit, is that spirituality, growth in spirituality is really important to me. And my wife, when this first hit, she was, you know, still seeking to find her spot with her spiritual walk, excuse me. And since then, she has really blossomed. I mean, really, really blossomed before my eyes with her own spirituality and her own walk. And that's what's happened since the diagnosis. She's really sought within her feelings of God and her feelings of, you know, that whole area. So she's doing exactly what I want my family and friends to do, is to continue to deepen their spiritual walk, because that's the only way it's getting me through this, is that, is, you know, my belief, my faith, and belief in people and spirituality. And that's what my biggest thing is continue to find your path that works for you, and that would carry you on, because this is not the end. This is just the beginning, in my opinion.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. This is just one little pit stop, you know? And in moving into that piece, I trust you believe in an afterlife.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So let me share a story with you that I found very inspiring. A gentleman online through Facebook years ago shared something with me. He was a traveler, traveled throughout the United States, and came upon Hopi Indians, women in the desert, just, you know, praising and singing and hallelujah. Well, you know, they're hallelujah-ing. And,
right.
And just tremendous, you know, exchange of energy and power and love and rejoicing. And in his inquiry, he found out that they were conversing in spirit with the afterlife, and that they were so joyous, so much in celebration and joyousness and happiness for when their time comes to rejoin those, their ancestors and loved ones who have passed on in the afterlife. And, you know,
beautiful.
I was raised Catholic, and I find some of the most powerful truths in indigenous cultures and Indian lore, and you know. So for me, I'll take pieces from Catholicism, but, you know, I'll take pieces from a lot. And I'll take, you know, I'll take what resonates and feels. And that stuck with me so incredibly, you know, validating. It was so validating to me. It was so inspiring in a way of there is this door. There's this veil. There's this doorway that we can't see it, but it exists. And we may get little glimpses. We may have dreams. We may have weird occurrences or visitations, you know. But there's this invisible world that really is just a whisper away. And and it really is such an integration that I feel if we could learn to understand energy in a way of allowing and integrating, and then even in death, love, because love can't be destroyed, so it's transformed in death. And so, you know, that bond of love, it transforms into a different exchange of energy and how it's related and how it's felt and how it's deepened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know even with my own parents who are deceased, you know, I have moments of in prayer or connection where I feel their essence as if they're in the room with me. So I know that, that veil is very thin. I know the essence of life and death. You know, sure, it can't be measured scientifically entirely at this point in our reality, but, you know, stranger things have been.
I agree.
So, let's talk about your online community. How did that happen, Jack?
Yeah, that, you know, that's a blur too. It really started about a year and a half ago. A good online friend, Alan Steed, he mentioned to me, he goes, Jack, you would be a great life coach. So I started thinking about it, and then I started doing my online studies about being a life coach, you know, and then this hit, you know, the cancer hit. So,
wow.
I was going and through, you know, different avenues or whatever. This is what I was led to teach, you know, and teach about how to die gracefully. Instead of what I used to talk about before is that you can either grow old bitter or grow old gracefully. So I just transmitted that over that to you can die gracefully or you can die bitter, you know. So and dying bitter to me isn't an option, you know, because you can't do anything about it, you know. You know, the why me's, or and that's fine that during your grieving process to go through the why me's and whatever, that's fine, but eventually you've got to come out of that and decide if you want to enrich your life by, like you said, enjoying the moment, enjoying the days, or enjoying your community or whatever. So it just kind of, you know, developed into this community that I started. I don't know. I don't know, Lisa. You know, it's a big blur, you know, but I felt like I was truly led by God to do this. And it has really, I'm amazed. I don't know. I'm almost like going, how that happened, you know, but it came out, and people have just overwhelmed me with their love, and we're exchanging this beautiful thing, and it is so rewarding because there have been people that are resonating with that and going, you know what, I don't have to die, which is fearful, and that's my thing, is I don't want people to die that you know, we'll have a little bit of fear, right, because that unknown, but that gripping fear that just grips every moment of your day that ruins your living moment. So my thing is how to live strong in that moment of life that there is so much beauty in the flowers or your dogs or your best friends or whatever. So my thing is I don't want people to waste one moment worrying about something that's going to happen anyway to all of us, no matter what we do. So anyway, living in the moment. So anyway, that's what kind of got it started. And yeah, you're right. It's just, I mean, it still floors me to this day. And the people in that group are just amazing, amazing people. So it's been put together, I think, miraculously, to be honest with you. I really, really do.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, I truly believe that whenever anything that comes together out of love like that and, you know, generosity, it only grows because of the intention and the love, the godliness in it. You know, there's a godliness in it, and you know, there's a piece where people are, you know, death is it still is such a taboo subject in so many ways because it elicits so much fear. I mean, it just elicits our, you know, it's this mortality. It's this piece of, gosh, we could go tomorrow. We could go today.
Yep.
And you know, what have we done? Have we been a good steward? Have we been good on this planet? Have we offered ourselves in an honest way? Have we shown up? You know, have we gifted? And excuse me, I find that, you know, you've lived your life in such a way that has honored spirit, life, love, humanity. And in this diagnosis, God definitely puts you first and foremost in people's hearts to really deal with a subject that is so painful for so many. In a way that it comes from a place of fear.
Yep.
And I think that if we could start to look at this as a transitional piece.
Exactly.
I think that when people start to get to a place of looking at life and death, and they start to look at, you know, what they have been raised with in maybe death, maybe they've been raised with an afterlife, maybe they haven't, you know. And they start looking at the finality of it. There's this fear of, was I led astray? Was I deceived?
Yep.
You know, is there really a heaven? And so,
right.
You know, even my mother, who was a devout Catholic, she must have sensed when she was going to go, because she started to talk to me like a year or so before she passed about death. And her fears of death and her fear of maybe this is all there is. This is a woman who, you know, raised me on the afterlife, okay? So here I am. I'm at least half of who I am because of this female. And here she is giving me her own fears and doubts, and I'm having to encourage her. So it was a very humbling reality for me. But at the same point, it was also this raw reality that people are fearful of what they don't know. And that's why science is so credible and why we default so much on fact and analytical, deciphering. But because there's this piece of what we don't know, we fear. And, you know, that comes our faith. So, you know, there's this word bodhicitta, and I know it sounds Spanish, but it's actually Buddhist, and it's the awakened heart, it's the awakened tenderness, it's a returning home to our soft spot, and you embody this for me, you know, you are this soft spot of bringing us all back to our awakened heart. So, tell me how this feels to you, knowing that you're affecting people in a way that is bringing them back to their heart, their truth, they're not afraid of death.
Yeah, you know, I was raised a strict Southern Christian thing with a hellfire and brimstone thing, so I kind of understand what you're talking about, you know, the Catholic part. And and let me tell you, Lisa, is that study near-death experiences way from the time of 8 years old, because I guess maybe because I was so afraid, right, because of all the hell damnation stuff. So I've studied for so long. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Is that as I went through, I had to come to that realization too, whether I believed in that kind of God or a God that's unconditional love, and that he did have something for us afterwards, that he would welcome us back home instead of sending us to whatever, you know. So I think that when people realize that God is unconditional, perfect love, and that he has nothing but good for us in store, and that we really, because back in the day, there was really no scientific anything, you know, say when it comes to the near-death experiences or whatever, but there has been so many that has come out over these years that talk about that perfect love, that perfect unconditional love, and that we have nothing to fear when it comes to death. It is unknown. We have nothing. Like we talked about earlier, is that this is just one little step. And matter of fact, I believe this is the hardest step. After this step, it's all gravy after that, you know. So when you really, really start reading and understanding that, you know, because a lot of stuff was, like I say, non-scientific. They just kind of went by, there must be an angry God because, you know, whatever, right, from whenever. But anyway, so now as we have grown and learned, and science does, there is, if you look at science and you, because some people don't want to believe it, right? You know, is they want to go, no, I got to go with my growing up. No, but science is nowadays showing that there is, these things do have validity to them, these near-death experience visions and or whatever. So my thing is that there's nothing to fear. There is not, you know, and if you do your research and you listen to stories, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm excited because I'm the lucky guy, right? Either I stay here and enjoy my friends here on the my group, you know, the Facebook group or whatever, or I go to a better place. So, anyway, so that's why I try to help people look at it that way. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I absolutely was going to say amen, because you are absolutely you're inspiring, whether it's online or you'll be inspiring on whatever dimension, because that's how your essence and energy is coming through. And I have no doubt that, you know, time and space, if there's an element of, moving through that piece, you will be able to tap some of us on the shoulder. So there's
Can I interrupt you real quick? I got to tell you this, because this is what kind of got it started. I was on a near-death experience group, and this is what got the garden started, was that I told them that we'll start a garden and that I will be a butterfly and I will come and visit you. And that's where it got started. Aww. And I told them, I was saying, is that, so if when I come to you, if I land on you as a butterfly once, that's not me. But if you shoo me away and I come back and land on you twice, that's me coming to visit you. So that's why I look at that. Yeah, that's where they got the butterfly garden started, because and you know what, Lisa, is so funny, is that people have said, I'm going to start my butterfly garden so you can come and visit me. So, that just fires me up.
I am so touched by that. That is beautiful. And let me just add that butterfly is extremely powerful for me. It's how my mother showed up at her service at her memorial, is this huge butterfly just would not leave. My father showed up as an eagle flying overhead during his memorial.
Oh, beautiful.
So when I go hiking out in the woods, I'm always finding eagles and butterflies lately. And so I am going to, and I'm also planting a butterfly garden, Jack, and unknowingly that this was, yes. So here we are, Jack, you know, just resonating along.
I
do too. I just really love how spirit tickles our senses and our awarenesses and awakens our feelings in this way. Because, you know, there is this peace and this belief, and I hold this belief in that this is a transitory spot we're in. We're in a,
absolutely.
We're in a pit stop, and this is our learning. This is our growth. This is how good we get it, you know, where we go
yep,
from here.
I agree.
And how much we love, how much we give, how much we're capable of loving and forgiving and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this whole piece that you are growing, I find it very divinely guided, divinely.
Me too.
You know, it's something that will live on and is a legacy or your work and or your work, because this is your gift that you're giving all of us here. I guess to really get into the next piece here in regard to moving on and releasing and surrendering and your garden, do you find that when you're in your garden and you're moving among the flowers and the plants, do you feel the essence of God, of spirit more? Do you feel, because I find nature as a very validating force of resonance and spirit for me, the natural order of life and the beauty of nature and the call of nature, the feel of it, and the whispers, you know. Do you find that a bit of your prayer?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And that's one thing that I, when you go out in your garden, something simple as just watering your plant, you know, sitting there with a hose in your hand and just watering the plant and knowing you're giving it nourishment and knowing that it will give back to you, you know, and the flowers or even the oxygen that it creates. And that's one thing that, Lisa, I'll say with this is that, when you're going through what I'm going through, you enjoy every little moment like that. You know, before you may, you know, just kind of, I got to water the plant or I got to do this or whatever, and you move on. But
right.
Just walking out and breathing the fresh air, you know, that's oxygen that's coming from the plants and as they grow and you watch it, and it's just the most serene and it's you see God in everything, in every little pebble, in every little, like you say, butterfly that goes by or a bee, or you watch it as it takes its nectar. You watch all of that very, very closely, and you enjoy every moment, every little movement of that little bee's, you know, toes or whatever they call it, you know, getting the nectar. You
yeah.
just enjoy all of that, and you soak it in, and you realize the beauty and the love of God just through every part of the growth of the plants and the garden. Yeah, it's God everywhere. You know, it's just
right.
Honestly, I appreciate it so much more now than I ever did, and I hope that people can learn to appreciate it before they're in my shoes.
Right, right. No, I found that very powerful in following your online community is the inspiration that the garden provides, because it's got a, you know, metaphorical piece, but it's also got this very real, living, loving godliness in it. And,
yeah.
you know, it's, And I know I've used that word. I really don't use that word often, godliness. But with you, I've been using it quite often today, Jack. Because I find a lot of your inspirations, and I find a lot of where you are moved to share yourself is
yeah.
from a place of godliness. And it's from a place of soul that, you
yeah.
know, it's, traditional love that
yeah,
you know, we all talk
absolutely.
About, you know, you hear it, you see it all over, you know, social media, unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
but it's a real hard concept to attain, and it's
yeah.
real when you drop into the reality that you're talking about, you know, when you're talking
yep.
about being present, when you're talking about being aware of every moment and appreciative of every gift.
Yeah.
And it is a dropping in. It is a quieting. It is a shutting down the noise, you know?
Yep.
I, too, started, you know, my search out of near-death experiences when I started to read. It was my mother's book of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and Raymond Moody.
Yeah.
And I started reading
it.
I was in first grade, and I did a book report, and the teacher, like, probably, you know, she had conference with my mother, and I think she thought I was a little touched, but we'll go with that. So, there was definitely this intrigue for me as well from a very early age with life and death, and not death in the morbidly scary, the body goes into the ground, but in the way that the spirit lives on. I just had this knowing as a child that there's something beyond our physicality that lives, and it has to come from our love. It absolutely has to come from our ability to feel and love, because that's what makes us, you know? It really does.
Yep.
We can compute all we want, but when we emote, things change, you know?
Yep,
and,
exactly.
And you're emoting, Jack. You are emoting all over the place, man.
well, you know what, Lisa, when you say that, is that my godliness is that I have never felt this alive in the love of God ever. The relationship that I have built with God the last 6 months is amazing. You know, I've seen God in a different way I've never seen before and felt, and miracles. I feel like I'm a walking miracle because I'm still being able to, because talking to my hospice worker the other day, there's no way I should be having my quality of life I'm having right now. I'm having a huge quality of life right now. And I attribute that to that my faith in God and the relationship that I have with him now is like, oh my gosh, you know, so it's keeping me alive, but I'm with you. It's just, oh my gosh. It's just so much different. And I'm truly, truly blessed. There's no doubt.
You are so blessed, and we are so blessed by you, Jack. What you are doing, what you have done, what you've created, you've allowed and given permission to others to follow suit in regard to talking about their challenges and their struggles and their fears and their anxieties in regard to life and death. And again, like I said, it's not a subject that is common to talk about or even to feel through because, you know, if we're honest, it's, you know, if we go into, like, you know, a fearful concept of it, sure, it elicits a lot of fear. And if we go into an expanded concept of it, death is just another passage. It's really something that we still have an energetic feel to that individual. There's still some connection there if we're allowed to dabble with it or tap into it. I know I get messages randomly and I don't doubt them, from both my parents. And, I know emphatically they're coming through with something, or they'll come in through a dream and it'll be like one of those lucid dreams. And it is, there's no denying it. I am, and it either manifest, transpire, or be very good insight or advice.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, I absolutely know the veil is very thin. So,
yes.
You know, in the comfort and love for your loved ones and for your beloved wife, you know, and as you said, she's moving in her own growth and spiritual journey, and I'm sure that this is, you know, such a mixed emotion for her in so many ways because it's beautiful to watch. You embrace this, but, you know, the reality is the reality. And so she's, you know, in processing that, I'm sure she's going through a lot of growth and a lot of emotions. But, you know, you're giving her a lot of gifts in moving on. You're giving her a lot of beauty in finding her truth and her heart, in finding this community, in having new friends, you know, in having people who are going to care and love for her, you know. It's a beautiful gift that you're offering her. And it's something that, you know, and also in your connection, it's allowing her to trust in having a connection even in your passing. And that's a beautiful gift. If, you know, if and when, whenever that happens. I mean, it, you know, you are already defying the odds, so, you know,
right.
Who knows?
I know, huh? Yep. Nope.
And none of us know, you know?
No, that's right. In fact, matter of fact, I was diagnosed in September. Her brother lives in India, fine, and in November, he died of a heart attack. Boom, dead,
oh,
you know? And
God.
That was a shock, right? So here she's dealing with this, and her brother is healthy. He called up, heart attack. So you're right. You never know.
So,
sorry. You know,
I know.
You just never know. Go ahead.
No, you never know. And that's all the more important to really know self, know needs, know wants, and get those needs and wants met, folks, because, you know, life is a blessing to all of us, and we all deserve our joys. And with people like Jack O'Ryan living and showing us how to live abundantly and fiercely and with such a generous heart and spirit, it's so encouraging to really jump on life, you know, jump on life instead of allowing life to just exist. Is there
take that happiness, take that happiness and protect that happiness with all you have and protect that joy, you know, and don't allow the fear of death to take away any moment of joy because, you know, like you said, it's life-giving and gives life to others. So my thing is to never allow one moment to be snatched from you for a fear of something that is going to happen anyway, you know? So just enjoy the day, enjoy the moment, you know? Go ahead.
And you are so, and you're not just saying that, you know? A lot of people say that, but you say that, you do that, you exhibit that. We feel that from you, you know? And I think that's truly the message because there's a lot of rhetoric out there. There's a lot of things that are regurgitated and re-said. And sure, they're great. They're great statements. But when statements are said with such honesty and truthfulness and heart, like you're offering us, changes us. You know, Jack, it really does. It changes me.
Beautiful.
Because I really feel you. I really feel who you are and the value of what you're offering all of us in this gift. And it's not empty words, you know?
Yeah.
It's powerful. Anything you would like to talk about or say before
my mantra is that don't allow anything to take away your joy ever. You know, just don't because, again, because you're afraid of death, and that's fine. We're all going to face that. But to have it take away, because, you know, life is a rocky boat anyway, right? You know, with what's going on in politics or whatever. So to have something else to try to take away our joy, it's sad, right? You know, because we need to protect it. And that's my thing is that don't allow anything, even including a death or a illness or whatever. Go through the process, yes. You have to go through the process of grief or whatever, but work through that, and then don't allow anything to take away your joy, and then give it away, right? And that's the thing is this community, that's what's so beautiful about it, is that there is such a give and take, is that there is love, I mean, unconditional love that's just given and taken and given and taken, and people are growing from it and learning from it, and it's just, like you said, and then that's what's so beautiful is that this will live on through the people that are going through my Facebook group. They're taking it on, you know, they're taking it on,
right.
They're moving forward, they're touching lives, you know, and that's what thrills me more than anything else, is I think that by their testimonies, lives are being touched, and that's all I've ever wanted to do, Lisa.
Oh, Jack, and look at how well you're doing it, and by the grace of God, you are succeeding such an incredibly beautiful way. That's one thing that I really find is so incredibly inspiring is that this group isn't just, you know, it may have been created and inspired in some part because of your situation, but the generosity from you in this group is that it's empowering, encouraging, and inspiring everyone who is in whatever stage of acceptance of grief, death, whether it's themselves, whether it's a loved one, whether it's someone who's passed, whether it's someone who is terminal or going through a terminal disease currently. You've got everybody on there in various stages of support, in various stages of receiving inspiration, in needing, you know, to know that they're not alone, in knowing that, you know, maybe they're a caregiver, maybe there's somebody that they're just wiped out watching their loved one, you know, go through the motions. I mean, it, it's a group that it allows death to become something that is talked about on a myriad of different levels. It's not just the finality, you know, and and that is such a, I can't, I'm at a loss of words for finding the grandiose of such an undertaking, because it's impactful in a way that hits the soul. And whenever anybody does something like that, I mean, there's a lot of risk takers out there. And there's a lot of, you know, people who are doing a lot, but here we are talking about death in a way that should empower us, should empower the community, you know?
That's what is so funny, that people look at my title and they maybe think it's morbid, and they maybe thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be a down group. We have an energetic group. We have an exciting group. It is a group that, like you said, shows another side of death that doesn't have to be mournful and, you know, and morbid or anything. It's there's life in it. It's weird. It's just, honestly, it just blows me away. But yeah, so this is not a morbid, you know, down, blah, 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 blah. This is a hope.
Right.
It's about giving hope, right? That's what it's about.
It's,
and that's why I wanted to
be always. It's all about hope. It's all about hope. And it's such an incredible group. Let's give the name of the group so our listening audience can join the group if they would like on Facebook. Jack O'Ryan's Coming Home. Is that what it's called, Jack?
Jack O'Ryan's Going Home Journal.
Going Home Journal. Jack O'Ryan's Going Home Journal. So I encourage, you know, we're all dealing with life and death, you know, whether it's somebody that we've lost or losing, or if we're even, you know, caretaking parents at some point, you know, there's something here that we all could use some additional insight and support in regard to life, love, and death. And I encourage you audience members to kind of, you know, dig deep and check out Jack's page. This is an incredible group that's growing. I mean, you've grown this group pretty quickly, haven't you? This has been, you're on like, I mean, you're not a marketer, are you, Jack? You're
kind of like
a humble soul.
right now we're at $3.99, and it's probably about 3 months, 4 months, maybe, I don't know. I think I started January the 1st, I think. I can't remember. But anyway, 400.
Awesome.
I can't even imagine that. That blows me away for a topic like death, you know, and then 400 people. That's just amazing.
Right?
And you're not even
this is March. That's incredible, Jack. That's an incredible journey. I mean, it's going to keep growing, you know. It's just growing and growing. And I really believe there's this need that, whether we want to talk about it or not, we all have this, you know, hidden desire and need to know a little bit more about death, because we can't escape it. It's going to come for all of us, and all of us have or will be affected on some level. And grief is never, you know, what I've found is grief is never the same. It's, you know, you think you've experienced grief, but it's a different type of grief every time you go through it. And so I feel like the more we can offer information like this that's empowering and encouraging and connecting, you know, it allows us to look at death differently.
I agree. I totally. That's what I'm here for. I'm going to take that death and, you know, and like the Bible said, take away his sting. Take away that damn sting. You know, excuse me, but that's what I want to do, is take that away, that sting, and give people hope that this is just a transition, like you said, and we're moving on to bigger and better things. So that's about
yes,
it there.
Yes, amen. And you don't have to apologize for saying damn. I've said a hell of a lot worse on here. but no, you are, this has been a real gift. This has been a real gift. And you, my friend, are the epitome of bodhicitta, the awakened heart, the awakened tenderness.
You
are a gift. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you for being who you are. And thank you
for allowing me to have this time.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Truly my pleasure. And Jack, I look forward to following you, talking to you, and checking in with this, because you are my inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Much appreciated, and we'll be talking soon, and thanks for being a friend for so long.
Amen. You too, Jack. God bless you.
Thank you, everybody,
for checking. Thank you, Jack. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful week.